Lawsonia is a really interesting pathogen because if a pig doesn't have any resident microbiome, we actually can't produce classic ileitis. And so there is an interaction with the resident microbiota that is required in order for the pig to develop kind of those classic hyperplastic lesions that we see in the ileum that leads to reduced absorption and reduced productivity.
We want to thank the innovative companies and products whose support and trust make this podcast possible.
Through innovative solutions, cutting-edge research, and world-class experts, Boehringer Ingelheim helps producers operate with complete confidence. Learn more at bi-animalhealth.com. Ralco, proven science, practical results.
Welcome to the Swine Health Black Belt Podcast, the latest swine health research digested for you. My name is Dr. Clayton Johnson, and I'm the host of the podcast. And joining us in our illustrious podcast studios here this week is Dr. Emma Helm. Dr. Helm is a research assistant professor at Virginia Tech University. Dr. Helm earned her PhD at Iowa State University and has been at Virginia Tech since 2021, where she's a teacher and also doing research on swine intestinal physiology. Emma, thank you so much for coming on the podcast. It's a pleasure to have you here. You've recently published an interesting paper looking at ileitis, or it's more appropriately, it's causative agent Lawsonia intracellularis. You want to talk to us a little bit about the Lawsonia infection process, the pig microbiome, how it impacts feed efficiency, all those kind of baseline topics that really lead into why this research is important.
Of course. I'm really happy to be on. Thank you all for having me, and I'm excited to talk about Lawsonia, which is one of the major problems pig producers everywhere are still encountering. It's a major cause of diarrhea, malabsorption, and then reduced productivity in growing pigs, particularly in kind of that early grower phase. And we've kind of continued to see problems with it throughout, even up until today. And there's been a lot of interesting work that's come out about Lawsonia recently related to kind of the resident microbiome of the microorganisms that are already in the gastrointestinal tract, how those may be impacted by infection with Lawsonia, and then kind of how potentially we may see interactions between Lawsonia and the microbiome already there. Lawsonia is a really interesting pathogen because if a pig doesn't have any resident microbiome, we actually can't produce classic ileitis. And so there is an interaction with the resident microbiota that is required in order for the pig to develop kind of those classic hyperplastic lesions that we see in the ileum that leads to reduced absorption and reduced productivity. And so we've been kind of working on over the past 10 years or so trying to target what are the microbes there that may or may not be influencing this progression of disease, and what pathobionts or additional causative bacteria would we potentially be able to target with either vaccination or nutrition or potentially, you know, antibiotic type therapies. And so that was kind of one of our reasons for doing this experiment. We were kind of looking at using a different sequencing strategy from what previous researchers have done with the microbiome that really allowed us to get more at species level communities rather than more at higher level communities to actually really target specific species. And then this technique also allowed us to look at some of the microbial metabolism markers that are also changed, because it's one thing to see a shift in what types of microbes are there, but it's also as important to understand what are those microbes actually doing in the gastrointestinal tract, regardless of what exact communities they are.
Salmonella presents significant challenges to pig health and performance and poses food safety risks to humans. As the first and only vaccine offering live attenuated strains of both Salmonella cholera suis and Typhimurium, Enterasol Salmonella TC from Boehringer Ingelheim protects pigs against both serotypes with a single oral dose. talk to your Boehringer Ingelheim representative to learn more.
Emma, you got a chance to challenge some pigs with Lawsonia. So what did you learn? I mean, how did those metabolites change or the microbiome itself in the challenge versus control pigs?
Yeah, perfect. So we did challenge some pigs with Lawsonia, and we were able to collect fecal microbiome from them at pre-challenge, but then also, more interestingly, at days 7, 14, and 21 post-challenge, 21 being kind of representative of what we would expect to be kind of peak infection, peak lesions, and then those pigs were at that point euthanized for a different experimental objective. And so we were kind of able to track those pigs through the progression leading up to peak disease to kind of see what microbes were shifting in accordance with, as expected, pretty sustained reductions in growth performance, feed intake, as well as feed efficiency associated with the challenged pigs. And so we did observe some pretty significant changes at all time points associated with Lawsonia intracellularis challenge. One of the more interesting things that we did observe was kind of sustained increase in chlamydia suis, which is a known pathobiont that can in and of itself cause gastrointestinal dysbiosis at both 7 days, 14 days, and 21 days post-challenge, which was kind of one of the clearest differences between our challenged and non-challenged pigs. And so this was something that has been seen under a few previous researchers' experiments. However, one thing that was really notable that we took away from this was that previous researchers had sometimes observed chlamydia to be found in challenge material. Unfortunately, when working with Lawsonia, one of the more common methods of challenging the pigs is to utilize a crude gastrointestinal tract homogenate because it's a really challenging microbe to grow in culture. And so you can kind of see some overlap then. It's hard to tease out individual taxa. We, however, sequenced our challenge material and did not detect any chlamydia suis in our challenge material. And so either we observed it to be present in the resident microflora, or it's something that is perhaps just kind of endemic to that animal's environment. And then very clearly, challenge with Lawsonia really allowed for expansion of this additional taxon. And so it does kind of open an additional line of questioning of the exact role that this microbe may play in concert with Lawsonia to lead to the disease that we end up seeing.
I know one of the other interesting outcomes you observed as it relates to the microbial metabolic pathways is that you saw, if I remember right, increased synthesis of nucleotides, but increased production of nucleotides, decreased biosynthesis of amino acids, which seems pretty counterintuitive. But do you think that the chlamydia suis infection played into that, or just incidental findings that two totally different things going on?
Yeah, that's a really great question. And we were really excited to be able to look at these microbial pathways because, again, it's one thing to know what bugs are there. It's another thing to actually kind of see what they're doing in the gastrointestinal tract. And we did definitely see kind of this consistent trend for our challenged pigs or our Lawsonia intracellularis pigs for the microbiota to have reduced amino acid biosynthesis. And then conversely, those microbes showed kind of increased nucleotide synthesis. And so we kind of had a couple of thoughts to take away from this. One, it may be in part due to nutrient availability. In a challenged pig, the nitrogen metabolism and nitrogen absorption of those pigs is terrible. In fact, some of the most challenged pigs that we've observed in previous research studies had actually like negative nitrogen digestibility. And so there's maybe potentially just that many amino acids in the gastrointestinal tract at peak infection that the microbes have no need to make their own amino acids because they're freely available in the environment. And on the flip side, in addition to Lawsonia and chlamydia and potentially other microorganisms that are present, they have all these nutrients. They're now going to increase their replication and increase their overall all metabolism. And in order for those microbes to be able to do that, they're going to have to make more nucleotides. And so our thought was kind of the pig is not digesting and utilizing nutrients well. That kind of allows these microbes to utilize the feedstuffs available for their own resources. And then that kind of enables them to continue this microbial expansion and therefore scavenge and generate more nucleotides for replication and further synthesis pathways.
Bring this to the farm level, if you would, Emma. Practically speaking, for producers, veterinarians that are listening, what information did you generate that they should be thinking about as they want to try and optimize their Lawsonia control plan?
That's a really great question. First, I think that some of the sustained rises in additional microbes that we observed could kind of serve kind of as an additional biomarker of active infection or dysbiosis to kind of help diagnose or track outbreaks sooner or help diagnose and track potentially more subclinical disease rather than full-blown clinical disease that we were working with in this study. Also, I think that with some additional research, understanding the types of metabolism that microbes are doing could allow us as nutritionists to develop some diets that are maybe a little bit targeted to assist the pig rather than assist the microorganisms in the gastrointestinal tract. And then additionally, looking at what microbes are changing and pathobionts versus beneficial microflora, could we figure out some microbiome-focused interventions to also assist that pig with kind of getting over and returning to gastrointestinal homeostasis? And I think it also really highlights the importance of a good vaccine program in your herd health. That's kind of one of the best tools that we have at mitigating Lawsonia-associated disease, especially from preventing the pig from getting into more full-blown ileitis in kind of the later stages of disease.
Excellent information, Emma. Appreciate you summarizing all that for our audience and being a part of the podcast here today.
Of course. Thank you so much for having me.
We got to thank the audience, Emma, because if they weren't tuning in, neither you or I'd have the opportunity to do this. So for all of you out there listening in, thank you very much. If you found this informative, please share it with somebody you know who could utilize it. If you haven't taken a moment to subscribe to the podcast, please go ahead and do so. We've got a great website, swinehealthblackbelt.com. Go check that out so that you can see Dr. Emma's podcast episode here now, but also all the other great episodes that we produce for you every single week. For Dr. Emma Helm, my name is Dr. Clayton Johnson. It's been our pleasure to spend a little bit of time with you, and we hope you have a great rest of your day.